Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Mem Hey. We are holding at the Mishnah, daf Kuf Mem Dalid Amid Beis. And today we're going to talk all about Shushvinus. Since we're discussing what gets divided amongst the various brothers in the estate and what does not get divided, so we're going to talk about if the father gave Shushvinus through one of the sons, and now he's supposed to get it coming back to him, because that was the practice, so would it come back to only that son, or would it go to the entire estate and be divided evenly among the brothers? So the Gemara is going to have a lot to say about this notion of Shushvinus, the idea of Shushvinus Chozer Le'emtza. We're going to make several lukimtas on the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to tell us five dinim on the bottom of the page that relate to Shushvinus. So Bryce is rather going to tell us five separate dinim, whether Shushvinus is subject to Ribbis and Shemitah and Pishnayim of a Bechar and all of these different dinim that relate to Shushvinus. Then the Gemara is going to quote another din of Shushvinus of what happens when it's unequal, when the simcha of the second guy is not like the simcha of the first guy. So the idea of paying it back doesn't exactly match up. Can the second guy decide that he's not interested in participating in the Shushvinus? And we're going to give several examples of such a case where that could possibly happen. So it's all about Shushvinus today. Says the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, we're all the way back up by the Mishnah. So again, given the background that it used to be common practice that when a group of guys, one of them would get married, his friends would send matanos and be mesameach with him together by the chuppah, and they would stay with him for the entire Shivas Yimei HaMishnah, for the entire Sheva Brachos, and then after they ate, they would give him the gifts, and then the understanding was, when those friends would get married, he would pay them back in kind. He would do the same. He would send he would send gifts and celebrate with them, and that's what we call Shushvinus. It means a sense of mereus, a sense of friendship. That's what the Targum Yonason on the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Rea David Shushvana de David, that Shushvin means a good friend. So that's so in a certain sense, Shushvinus is like a halva'a, that if I give to you, it's almost like a loan. You're supposed to give it back to me. So says the Mishnah, Ha'achin Chasum Ktsasan Shushvinus Bechaye Av. A father sent some of his through some of his sons Shushvinus to another person. Chazur Shushvinus. If that person that received the Shushvinus wants to give back the Shushvinus, meaning he wants to pay it back to the brothers, so Chazur Le'emtza. It doesn't only go back to the brothers that were the Shluchim of the father in the first place, that brought the gifts from the father. No, it gets divided amongst all of the brothers, and those who are Makabal Shushvinus cannot lay claim to it and say that it belongs entirely to us. Shushvinus Nigvis Bebezdin, because the din of Shushvinus is a din of a halva'a, and if you give someone Shushvinus and he doesn't give it back to you, you can sue him for that. It's not Stam Matana. It's something that could be collected in Bezdin, and therefore it belongs to the estate. Avol Shalech L'Chaveru Kadeyayin V'Kadeshemen. But if someone Stam sends some wine, some oil, without the fellow getting married, or even if he is getting married, but you don't go and celebrate with him and stay with him the way a Shushvin normally would, so it's not a Shushvin, it's just Stam a gift, then ein nigvin bebezin. You can't be tovea that you want it back in bezin, mneshen gemilz chasadim, because that's considered stam, a nice matana, and therefore it has nothing to do with shushvinus, and it doesn't have a din of halva'a at all. The Rambam disagrees with this interpretation. He says shushvinus is only money. The reason why the difference over here is not whether you celebrated with the person or not, it's about what the gift was. It wasn't a monetary gift over here, it was kadeyayin v'kadey shemen, and that makes all of the difference. So frankly, Gemara Romini, I'll ask Stira on the idea that the Mishnah says that Shushvinus is Chazaris La'emtza, that it gets divided amongst all of the brothers. Shalach lo aviv Shushvinus, if a father sends Shushvinus through one of his sons, kishi Chazaris, when the time comes for it to return, Chazaris lo, it goes back to only that son. Nishtalcha li aviv Shushvinus, when if someone sends Shushvinus to the father for the marriage of one of his sons, and then the father died, kishi Chazaris, when it has to be paid back, Chazaris mina emtza, it gets paid back from the the estate, all of the brothers have to participate in paying back that shushvinus, because that's like a halva'a of their father. It's like their father borrowed money, and now he's got to pay back that money. So, but what you see is that if the father sent shushvinus while he was alive through one of the brothers, it is that brother alone who's supposed to receive it back. And that's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said chazeres be'emtza. So I'm Rabbi Yassim, Rabbi Yochanan, kitna nami masnisin, nishtalcha la'aviv tenan. When the Mishnah says chazul emtza, it's talking about that the shushvinus was sent to the father, and then now the father's sending it back. It was in the other direction. But ein achinami, if it was sent by the father for one of his sons, then it would only go back to that one son. So v'ha achin shasum miktsasan shushvinus katani. But it says in the Mishnah the words achin shasum miktsasan shushvinus, which means that the brother sent other people shushvinus, and not that the father received shushvinus. Tni limiktsasan. You have to say that he sent limiktsasan, meaning that some of the brothers received shushvinus from other people. Aiva chazru shushvinus katani. But it says in the Mishnah that chazru shushvinus leemtza sounds like when the brothers are mekabel the shushvinus in return, it gets split evenly. So it has to be talking about where they sent the shushvinus, and that's why it's coming back to them right now. So hachi ka'amar, chazru ligvos nigvus peemtza. When the time comes to give back the shushvinus, don't explain the Mishnah that it's that the shushvinus goes back to the brothers from the other person that received it in the past, and now it's going back la'emtza to all the brothers. It means chazra, when it's chazra ligvos, they're gova mei ha'emtza, that they're gova from all the brothers, which means when the brothers pay back the shushvinus to the other guy, all of the brothers pay back the shushvinus to the other guy. So the Ravasi Amar lo kasha. So that was all one approach to answering the stira between our Mishnah and our Braisa by reinterpreting our Mishnah entirely. That the case of shushvinus la'emtza is not when the shushvinus is being paid back to the estate, but it's when the shushvinus is being paid back from the estate. Now the Gemara says, Ravasi Amar lo kasha. There's no stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Kan bistam. The Mishnah is talking about stam, the father sent through one of the sons, shushvinus, to a certain guy, and he never said that you have to give back the shushvinus dafka to this son. So when he never said give it back dafka to this son, it's chozer liemtza, it gets divided evenly amongst all of them. But kan b'mefaresh, the Bryce is talking about where he was explicit and he said, I want the shushvinus to come back dafka to this child, kidetanya, like the Brisa says explicitly, shalach lo aviv shushvinus kishi chazeres chazeres lo, shalach aviv shushvinus stam kishi chazeres chazeres lemtza. The Brisa explicitly makes this chilek between shalach lo aviv shushvinus and shalach shushvinus stam. If he's the father is sending it on behalf of one of his children to that child's friend, so then it's dafka for that child. But if it's stam, it's not dafka for that child. It's the father participating in the shushvinus, so it's all owed to the father. A third approach, Shmuel Amar. Really, our Mishnah holds like the Braisa that if the father sends shushvinus through one of his sons, it goes back dafka to that son. But hacha biyava maskina, and the Mishnah is talking about a case where the son who sent the shushvinus, who was sent with the shushvinus, died, and one of his brothers was miyabim that son's wife. So the yavam is yoresh his deceased brother. So he should be yoresh the shushvinus that his brother had given. But sheinu notel beroy kibamuchsa. But he can't be yoresh the shushvinus because shushvinus is only ra'ui nechasim that are already in the deceased's rishus. That the Yavam is Yorish, but that which is not in the Rishus of the deceased at the time of his death is only called Ra'ui, and the Yavam is not Yorish. That Shushvinus, therefore, he's not Yorish, so when the Shushvinus comes back, it's Chozeres La'emtza. So that's a third way of reconciling our Mishnah with the Braisa, that the Halacha in the Braisa as we have it is correct, and the case of the Mishnah is a unique case where the son who stands to receive the Shushvinus is no longer alive. Mechlal, now the Gemara is medayik from Shmuel, that the Yavam does not get Shushvinus. So Mechlal, the Idach Mishalim. So it sounds like the one who is Mekabel the Shushvinus pays for the Shushvinus, but the whole question is who it goes to. Lema Tnuli Shushvini Ve'esmachimo. Why can't the guy who owes the Shushvinus say, hey, wait a second, why do I have to pay this at all? The guy who was my friend who celebrated with me at my wedding, I'll be happy to celebrate at his wedding. Problem is, he's dead. So what do you want me to do? So I don't have to pay anything. Milo Tanya, don't we have a brisa after all that says Malkum Shnagu Lahachzir Kiddushin Machzirin? The brisa says by Kiddushin that if the woman dies after the Erusin, if the minig is in that place that you give back the Kesef Kiddushin, so Machzirin, then you give back the Kesef Kiddushin to the man after the woman dies. Malkum Shnagu Shalol Lahachzir Ein Machzirin. If the minig in that place is not to give back the Kesef Kiddushin, then you don't give it back. The only idea of giving back in a place where that's the minhag is if the kala dies after the erusin, and the chassan says that I want my money back. Avol meis hu, but if the chassan dies and his mishpacha says we want the money back, ein machzirin, then we don't give it. She doesn't have to give it back. My taima, why don't we have to give it back? Why doesn't she have to give it back to the chassan's yarshim? Yecholi hisha tomar, she could say to the family of her deceased arus that tenuli bali vesmachimo, I'm perfectly ready to get married. Give me my husband, and I'll go ahead with the nisuin. So why can't you say the same over here by shushvinim? Tenuli shushvini vesmachimo. Let the person say, give me my shushvin, I'll be happy to pay him back. He's not around anymore, and therefore I don't have to pay him back. So Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Yosef, hachamay askinan, kigon shesamach imo, shiva yimei mishta, velo hispik leporo, ad shemes. No, the Mishnah's talking about where you actually did celebrate with him throughout the entire Shavu Brachos. He got married, and you participated, so you have to pay him the shushvinis at the end. You didn't have a chance to pay him, and then he died. So you can't say, give me shushvini ve'esmach imo. You did celebrate with him. Now you owe the money. Question is, who the money goes to, because it's only roi, it's not muchsak, you don't give it to the avam, you give it to everybody. So that taina, tenuli bali ve'esmachimo, is not so pashut, that a woman is able to say, after the husband dies, during erusin, give me my husband, and I'll be happy to celebrate with him, but short of that, I'm keeping the ring, right? I'm keeping the kesef kiddushin. Lema tenuli bali ve'esmachimo tanaihi. Maybe whether a woman can have such a taina is in fact a machlokas tanaim. Detanya, hama'aris asi isha, a person does kiddushin, and he gives her a stark suba, let's say, at the time of the kiddushin. Because if he doesn't write her a ksuba, the Gemara is going to have a suffix in ksubas, in the Mesachas Ksubas Daf Petes, that only when he does nisuin, she's entitled to the ksuba mitakanas chachamim, and that suffix is not resolved. So la halacha, the Ram paskins that the chum were only misakin ikr ksuba at nisuin, or when you write a ksuba. So we have to be assuming that there's a ksuba in place, even though it was only erusin. So it's not the tanai bezin ksuba, it has to be that it is actually done. He actually wrote a ksuba. So the brisa tells us as follows. Someone is ma'aris and isha, and he wrote her a ksuba, and then he dies or divorces her before nisuin happens. So besula gova masayim. If she's a besula, she gets to collect masayim zuz as a full ksuba's besula. Valmana mana, and almana gets to receive a mana. Makam shenagu lahachzir kiddushin machzirin. In a place where they give back the kesef kiddushin, if they don't get married in the end, so then you give it back. Makam shenagu lahachzir kiddushin ein machzirin div Rabbi Nasan. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer be'emes amru makam shenagu lahachzir machzirin makam shenagu shlo lahachzir ein machzirin. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi heinu Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Tanakama are saying the exact same thing, that you follow the minhag. If the minhag is to give back the kesef kiddushin, do so. If the minhag is not to give back the kesef kiddushin, don't do so. Elalav tenuli bali ve'esmachimo ika benayu. It must be what they're arguing about is this very issue. Can the woman say, I'm not giving back the kesef kiddushin, I'm perfectly ready to get married if my husband were here? V'chisuri metzavach iktani. The brisa is missing a few words. Here's how to really read the brisa. Hama'ari says the isha, a person does erusin, and then he dies or they get divorced. Besula gov masayim al mana mana. That's what the brisa said. Ba med varmamurim. But here's what we're adding in. That when do we say that she receives her ksuba in addition to the kesef kiddushin dahadr be'ihu? That's if the husband backed out and he wants to divorce her, or he died, and therefore it's his fault, so to speak. speak. I'm sure he didn't want to die, but it's on his side that it all falls apart, that they don't get married. Aval mesa, but if she dies, makam shnagu lahachzir machzirin, makam shnagu shalol lahachzir ein machzirin, you follow the minag, v'dafka shemesa hi, and it's only if she dies, then it's tali and minag. Aval mes hu, ein machzirin. But if he dies, you never return the money. My taima, why if he dies, do you never return the money? Because yicholi hishatomar, she could always say, tenuli bali ves machimo, give me my husband, I'll be happy to get married to him. Vas Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi lemeimar, then comes along Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he disagrees in this sense. He says, be'emes amru, bein meis hu, bein meis ahi, doesn't make a difference. Who dies? Makam shogel achzir machzirin, makam shogel shlo lachzir, ein machzirin. If it's a place where the minig is that you give back the kesef kiddushin, do so, and if it's a minig is not to, then you don't do so, and it's all talui on the minig makom. V'lom matzia amra, she cannot say tenuli bali ve'esmachimo, that give me my husband and I'll celebrate with him, and therefore I will not give back the kesef kiddushin. So you see that this din of whether a woman can say tenuli bali ve'esmachimo is in fact subject to a machlokas tanaim. Why is it not talia minig? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's shita is a very big chiddush it is talia minig. He said b'emesam beinu bein meisei. You always follow the minig. She's not able to say that tnuli bali ve'es machmir. Everything is talia on minig hamakom. The Mishnah says hakol k'minig hamedina is Yerushalmi in Bab Metzia that tells us Amar Poshi Azos Ameres haminig mevatel es halacha. That minig is so strong that it could be mevatel es halacha. So if the minig is to be machzir the most kiddushin, why is that minig not docha the halacha that she could say tenuli bali ve'esmachimo? So that's the kasha. So they suggest that the minig is mevatel halacha only when the shiva tuvei ear are koveh the minig. That's like any other tanai of mammon, that the shiva tuvei ear can be koveh. But a minig stam is not mevatel halacha. So this minig that they were knowing to be machzir the most kiddushin was not determined by the tuvei ear. It's stam, just a minig, and therefore the woman could say tenuli bali ve'esmachimo because that's the Shuras Hadin, that she's able to say that's the halacha. So the minag of machzirin would not be mevatel such a halacha according to at least one shita in Tanayim. That's how the Rishonim explain. That's the Rashba, the Ritva, that's how they explain. So anyway, the Gemara says, lo, you cannot say that the machlokas, Rabbi Nasi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, is really about this issue of whether a woman is able to say tenuli bali ve'esmachimo, because it could be the kulei al neichal shtomer tenuli bali ve'esmachimo, that everyone agrees that she is entitled to say tenuli bali ve'esmachimo, that and therefore she won't have to pay back the money. Udemis hu kuli alma lo pligi. When the husband dies, everyone agrees that she does not have to give back the money because she could say tenuli bali ki pligi shemesa hi. The whole shaila is, the whole machlokas is, if she dies after the kiddushin, va'acha b'kiddushin l'tibu initnu kamiflagi. Over here, the machlokas is whether the kiddushin is given to remain in her reshus, meaning that he who gives kiddushin loses it forever. When you give kiddushin to his arusa, does he give them with finality to never give him back? That even if she dies, that he's never, and he never gets to marry her. Or do we say no, that he's only giving it with the intention of fully marrying her, and if it doesn't work out, then he wants it back? Rabbi Nasa Savar Kedushin Lav Litibu Nitnu was not given to be lost forever and be gone from him forever. Rabbi Nasa Savar Kedushin Litibu Nitnu, that yes, it was, that it's going to be lost forever, she'll get to keep it forever. So the Gemara says, how could you say that Rabbi Nasi holds Kedushin Litibu Nitnu, that it's almanas, that it should be lost from forever? V'makum shenagu lahachzir machzir katani. Even Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi admits that if the minhag of that place is that they give it back, the money of the kiddushin, so you do give it back. So why would you have to give it back if it's litibu in itnu? So hachi kamar. No, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi meant to say was as follows, that the most kiddushin enochinami never goes back. That's litibu in itnu. The sivlonos, but the sivlonos, which are special gifts that the guy sends to the girl between the time of Kiddushin and Nisun. Remember, there was a full year between Kiddushin and Nisun, where she's still living Bebeis Avia, so he's sending her gifts throughout the year. That's different than Kesef Kiddushin. That's going to be totally dependent on the Minhag. So Vahani Tanai, this Machlokas Tanaim, Kahani Tanai, matches a different Machlokas Tanaim. Meaning the question of Kiddushin Letibu in Itnu matches another Machlokas Tanaim. Ditanya, we have a brice that says as follows, Kitcha B'Kikar, if a man is Makadish Nisha with a Kikar of Kesef, meaning it's worth 60 mana, a Kikar of Kesef. Besula Gova Masayim V'Almana Mana. The Besula's Ksuba is still going to be Masayim and Almana's will be a Mana. Divrei Mei, Rabbi Yudom, Besula Gova Masayim V'Almana Mana, U'machzeres Lo Es Hashar, and she gives back whatever is left from the kikar after she collects the masayim from it or the mana from it. She doesn't get to keep the rest of the kikar. Rabbi Yossi Omar, kitcha be'asrim nosin la shloshim chatzayin, kitcha b'shloshim nosin la esrim chatzayin. So we're going to have to explain what exactly is going on in this brisa. So b'mayaskinan, what's the brisa talking about? Ilema shemesa, if we're talking about that the woman is the one who died, and that's what Rabbi Yossi says, that you give the Ksuba, and whatever's left over goes back. You have to give back to the husband because it was not given as a full matana. You can't say that that you give her the ksuba in such a case. Miyisla ksuba, would she be entitled to a ksuba? No, the halacha is you would not be entitled to a ksuba in that case if the woman is the one who died. No, the ella shemes who? No, the case must be that the man is the one who died, and that's why the woman collects the ksuba, because any time you have an isha shenis almana, she collects the ksuba, but you can't say that either, because then amay machzeres lo sashar. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that she has to give back the rest of the kesef kedushin? V'neima, why can't she say tnuli bali vesmachimo? Give me my husband, and I'll be happy to celebrate with him. And in the meantime, I'm keeping the whole kikar of kesef. Ve'ela be'ishis Yisrael shazin sana. The case must be that the Bryce is talking about the husband's alive. It was an ishis Yisrael shazin. So while she was in Arusa, she had znus with someone else. The man has to divorce her. So when he divorces her, he's paying her ksuba, and nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds that she has to give back the rest of the money. Obamai, wait a second, she was mezana, how does this work? She was mezana, now she's going to collect her ksuba? I baratzon, if she was mezana baratzon, miyis la ksuba, does a woman receive a ksuba when she cheats on her husband? No, obviously not. If a woman, the basic rule of losing a ksuba, mesachas ksubas, is that we look at who ruined the marriage. If she's the one that ruined the marriage, she does not receive her ksuba, she loses her ksuba. So it's not about how big of an avera it is, it's about ruining the marriage. Certainly being mezana baratzon is ruining the marriage. Meaning that's if she murders somebody, she doesn't lose her ksuba, because that has nothing to do with the marriage. That's just stam. She does an avera. But if she commits gilui arayos, that relates to the heart of the marriage. So that certainly she's going to lose her ksuba. So if she did it baratzon, what? She's going to get a ksuba? That's ridiculous. Ve'ela ba'ones. No, must be she was mezana ba'ones, which means rachmana litzlan. Someone took advantage of her. So wait, but if that's the case, mishra sharyale, she's not us to him. Why are they getting divorced at all? He should stay with her. The elubacious Kohen Shenen. So no, it must be that the man is a Kohen. An Anacious Kohen that Rachmana Litzlan is taken advantage of in such a way is Asura Labaili. He does have to divorce her, but she doesn't lose her ksuba. She did nothing wrong. Ubi Kiddushin Latibu and Itnu Kamiflagi. The Machlokas from Meir Rabbi Yehuda is whether the Kesef Kiddushin is given with finality to be lost forever. Rameir Savri Kiddushin Litibu and Itnu, and it's given with a sense of finality, and she does not have to return it back. And therefore, in addition to collecting the ksuba, because he's divorcing her, she gets to keep that money. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lav Litibu and Itnu. No, the Kesef Kiddushin is not given with a sense of finality, it's given with the understanding that they will one day get married. Rabbi Yossi Misapkele, and Rabbi Yossi is simply not sure. E Litibu and Itnu Ilo. And therefore, the Kesef Kiddushin is considered Mamrum. And that's why he comes up with this mathematical equation of how to do cholkin, of how to divide the money of the ksuba hilkach. Kitshav Esrim, if he was Makadisher with 20 shkalim, which equals 80 zuz, no sein la shloshim chatzain. He gives her 30 chatzai shkalim, which is 60 zuz. Why? Because the 80 zuz of kesef kiddushin, they split. So she's left with 40 zuz, but he has to pay the ksuba, which is 100 zuz. So he's got to give her an additional 60. Kidsha b'shloshim, if he was mekadesh her with 30 shkalim, which is 120 zuz, nosin la esrim chatzain. He gives her 20 half shkalim, which is 40 zuz, because the kesef kiddushin is 120 zuz that they split, so she's left with 60 zuz, and he has to be mashlim l'ksuba and give her another 40 zuz to be mashlim l'ksuba. So based on that, the machlokas tanaim is whether kesef kiddushin is l'tibu nitnu alo, which was our entire point. We're trying to show that there is a machlokas tanaim elsewhere about this very issue. So the Gemara is going to explain whether la halacha you have to give back the kesef kiddushin and the matanos or not. I mean, bottom line, does she have to return it or does she not have to return it? Where the minhag is that they give back the kesef kiddushin when the woman dies, so then they give it back. Vitarguma, and when we say b'kol makom, it means nahardaa. So shar bavel mai, okay, that's in nahardaa. What would be the din in the rest of Bavel? Is that like a makom shenagu lahatzi or not? Rabbi Rav Yosef, darmi tarvayu, mare hadre, kiddushe lo hadre. That in the rest of Bavel, the matanos that he sends after the kiddushin, that goes back if the woman dies. But the actual kesef kiddushin itself does not go back if the woman dies. That remains in the hands of the Yorshim, meaning the Mare means the Sivlonos. That's what the Rashbam explains. And Rashbam says that Mare, he then has another day that Mare is not the Sivlonos, it's money that he gives at the time of Erisin from what he's chayiv in the Ksuba, and he's just prepaying the Ksuba. But Pashto says it means the Sivlonos, it's just another word for Sivlonos. Amar Rav Papa Hilchsa, Bein Shemes Hu, Bein Shemesa He, doesn't matter who dies, whether he's the one that died, she's the one that dies, Vahadr Behu, and after she dies, he goes back from the, or, meaning the third case, if instead of him dying or her dying, the guy decides he's not interested in being married anymore, he wants to divorce her, Ma'are Hadre, the Matanos go back, Kiddusha Lo Hadre, the Kesef Kiddushin does not go back, Hadra Ba'ihi, but the fourth possibility of how they never end up getting remarried, which is she backs out and decides she's not interested in getting married, afilu kiddushei nami hadre, then everything goes back. If she's the one that breaks it off, she has to give back everything, the kesef kiddushin, as well as all of the matanos. Amemer amar kiddushi lo hadri. Amemer says, no, the kesef kiddushin doesn't go back even if she's the one that backed out of the marriage, even if she's the one that decided that they're not going to get married. Why? Gzeira Shemiyomru, the Chum made a gzeira that we're afraid that people are going to say that since the most of the Kiddushin went back, it was never a Kiddushin, and they're going to think, therefore, Kiddushin Tovsin Bachosa, that this guy is able to marry this girl's sister in violation of an Isser Minat Torah, because they're going to think, oh, if the Kesef Kiddushin went back, it must be that they were never married in the first place. But they were married in the first place. So they're going to come to make a mistake, la halacha, about who he's eligible to marry. Rav Ashi Amar, Gita Mochiachala. Rav Ashi says, no, you don't have to worry about that. No one's going to think that they were never married because she has a get. So the fact that she has a get will make it abundantly clear that of course they've been married. So no one's going to come to be matir with this sister. So the Gemara rejects Rav Ashi. Vahad Rav Ashi, that which Rav Ashi says that the get will be mochiach, and therefore no one's going to make a mistake. But dusahi, that is an absolute mistake to say such a thing. Dika the shama b'ha v'lo shama b'ha. Where do you find someone else's get? I mean, it's not like a matter of public knowledge. They're not plastering it all over the streets. Sometimes a person will know that the kesef kiddushin was returned because that's, you know, there was a ring and she went and she threw it and said there's a whole show. But the get, you know, that was done privately in some, you know, in a basement in some basement somewhere. You don't always know about the get. You know the kind of research we have to do. I mean, we were just doing a gerus last week of a woman who thought she was Jewish her whole life, because an unbelievable thing. All the people who grew up in Russia, they they always assumed that if their father was Jewish, they were Jewish. That's the way they were taught. They were taught with no religion. So we have tons of Gerim who grew up their whole lives assuming that they were Jewish, and then they marry a Jew, and they have children, and then they discover that they're not Jewish. So they have to go through a Gerus, because so you don't call that a Gerus for marriage. It's a Gerus because their whole lives they were Jews. So we just had a case. The problem is the woman married a Kohen. So she's married to a Kohen, but the Kohen we think is a Chala, because his mother was his father. His mother was married once before and was divorced. But was she? So the research you have to do to find was she really divorced? Was she really married? Who knew about this? Where's the paperwork? It's not so easy to dig all of this up to find who is this rabbi that signed on the bottom of that divorce document. It's not so easy to find this. It's not something that's just like a matter of public knowledge and everyone automatically has it. Maybe now they should have like some sort of database or something. But I'm sure the RCA has something worked out. But it's not so easy to find. I'm sure Rabbanut for sure has something with it, but it's not so easy to find things that happened many, many years ago. So of course there could be a mistake that sometimes people will hear about one thing and they're not going to hear about the other thing. So the Mishnah said weiter, Shushvinus nigves bebezin, that the Shushvinus can be collected in Bezin, meaning it's considered like a real halva'a. It's not the way we give a wedding present where, sometimes people like to keep score. How much should I give when I'm going to this wedding? Well, let me look back at my list. What did he give for my kid's wedding? What did he do? But you don't have to. You can give whatever. Financial situations change. Maybe that person needs it more. Maybe you have less. You have more. Whatever it is. But this was a halva'a. You mamish had to pay it back. It could be collected in Bezin. Tan Rabban, Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Shushvinus. There are five halachos stated about Shushvinus. First of all, nigves bebezdin. Yeah, they could sue you for it. You have to give it back. V'chazeres ba'onasa, and the one who received the Shushvinus only has to give it back when the other party who gave it actually gets married. You do not have to give it back until that person gets married. Number three, ve'ein ba mishum ribis. If you give back more than you received, that is not a violation of ribis, which is a chiddush, because if you're going to treat it like a halva'a that could be collected in Beis Din, so you would think, okay, so then you got to pay back exactly the same amount. You can't pay back extra. Number four, ve'ena shviyas mishamatita. Shmita will not cancel the shushvinus, which is also a chiddush. If it's really a loan, you would think shmita would cancel it. But no, you have to give it back anyway. And number five, ve'ena b'char notaba pishnayim. If father gave shushvinus, and then the father dies, and they're giving the shushvinus back, and it's being divided by the estate, the b'char does not get pishnayim, and that's because it's ra'ui, it's not muchsak. So b'char doesn't get pishnayim. The top Tosfos over here discusses this idea that Shemitah doesn't cancel it out. Why not? Why wouldn't Shemitah cancel the Shushvinus? You would think that it would. So Tosfos writes, though kari b'lo yigos, because the Torah says you're not allowed to press the person for money after the Shemitah year comes. But that would imply that otherwise you'd be able to pressure him for the money. When can you pressure someone to give you money back? That's only when the loan comes due. Prior to the loan coming due, you're not able to pressure him. When is the Shushvinus due? The Shushvinus is only due when the other party gets married. So there was no situation where pressure would have been mutter beforehand. And that's why Shemitah doesn't cancel it. Shemitah only cancels a loan where there would have been pressure, but because of Shemitah, we say no more pressuring. But over here, there couldn't have been pressure. It wasn't due yet. That is assuming like one daya in the sugya in the beginning of Maseches Makos. Because what happens if you lend somebody money and it's due in 10 years from now? So by definition, there's at least one Shemitah in between now and 10 years from now. Does Shemitah cancel such a loan? So it's two dayos in the Gemara Makos. So one opinion is, of course Shemitah cancels a loan. The Shemitah comes. The other opinion is, no, there's no layigos, because you couldn't have asked for the money back at the time that Shemitah had come. And any loan that you couldn't have asked for it back at that time, Shemitah will not cancel such a loan. So our Gemara seems to be assuming like that, meaning that's why Shemitah doesn't cancel the Shushvinus, because you couldn't have asked for the Shushvinus back until you actually get married. So now let's go through one by one. The first din, Nigves Bezin Mai Taima Kimilva Damia. Why is it that you could collect in a Bezin? Because it's a loan. So a loan, you could collect in Bezin. Vein Bamishum Ribis, skipping ahead to the third halacha, the fact that there's no ribbis on it The live adaitu dahachi yahivlei. You didn't give him more in order to pay back extra to the loan. You gave it because you're happy for your friend and you're just trying to celebrate with him. Because the raya is that you could also give back. Rashbam says that you can give back less than the shushvinas. So that the fact that you give him more is not ribis. It's for your own kavod to be megadol shemo. The Ravid says to enhance your own standing by giving him back the extra money. So that's the third din, that it's lav adaita dalchi yavlei. And then going to the fourth din, vena shvius mishamatata to lo krinabe lo yigos. Like we said, we can't say lo yigos about such a loan because it hadn't yet come due. And that's what Tosus discusses, which daya in the Gemara Makos this seems to be locking itself into. If you look toward the end of that Tosus, in the top Tosus, it says vein nira l'ri raya mikan. To lo shaykh klal shushvinus l'milva shari mikam advarim im chalukim zemizah k'demash ma'acha. Tosus says, I'm not really sure we could bring a raya from our sugya to what the halacha would be on a milva of Eser Shanim, because a milva of Eser Shanim is at least a milva. Shushvinus is not exactly a milva. V'acha achi pirusho. Ein shuyus mishamat tod lo kirin be'lo igos v'shema li olam lo yavil de ligo. See, over here it's different. When someone lends you money, ultimately you have to pay it back. Meaning, the chov is always there until it gets paid back. But if you do a shushvinus, ultimately you may not have to pay it back. The guy may never get married. So it's not really a loan, and therefore this may not really be a raya to that sugya. Ve'ena b'char notel pishnayim. Why not? Avalei ro'i. Ve'ena b'char notel b'ro'i kebemuchsuk. Like we've learned many times, the b'char does not get pishnayim in ro'i. He only gets pishnayim in that which is muchsuk. So the Gemara is going to explain how paying back the shushvinus when you were not mishtatef in the simcha. Am Rav Kana. Klalu de shushvinisa. The rule in the dinam of shushvinus is hava b'masav. The guy that's chayav the shushvinus was in the city at the time of the wedding, and we assume he definitely heard that the guy is getting married. Ibayle le mesa. You have to come and celebrate, and if you and bring shushvinus with you, bring the gifts with you. If you don't, they could sue you in Beis Din. Shama kal tavla. You hear the sounds of the bells that they would be mashmia in order to call people to come to a wedding. Wedding bells is actually a Jewish concept, right? That they would make a big noise about it so that people would know that there's a celebration. They would light extra candles. They would do all sorts of things to make it obvious, to make it evident to anyone who's nearby that there's a wedding going on, that there's a simcha going on. So you buy Leila Mesa. He should come to you, Mishtati with the simcha, and he can't say, oh, I wasn't invited. Lo shama kol tavla. He was so far away that he couldn't hear the wedding bells. Then the guy should have let him know that he's getting married. And Tarumas Islay, the Shushvin could have complaints on him that you didn't invite me. Shulam Mishalim. But he still has to pay the Shushvinus. Meaning he could have tightness. Hey, how come I wasn't invited to the wedding? But if he brought you Shushvinus, you're still going to have to give him back Shushvinus. So says Gemara, the Ad Kama. How much do you have to pay? Now, certainly, you have to pay something. So Amar Abaye, Nagu B'nei Ganana, the people that come to the Chuppah Ad Zuza, that if the value of the Shushvinus that he brings is worth a Zuz, then you don't have to pay anything. Aisa Bekape Achle Bekrese, that which he brings in his hand, he eats in his stomach. Meaning, this Zuz that he brings, he would eat it if he was not Mishtatef in the Simcha, because the value of the food that he's eating is a Zuz. So now that he's not Mishtatef in the Simcha, and he didn't cost the guy who's making the wedding any money, so he doesn't have to pay the Shushvinus. Meaning the idea of the Shushvinus was to defray the cost of the wedding. But if I'm not costing you anything, you know, it's the response card that comes back, we can't make it, and the father of the kala is celebrating that the person can't make it because he's not, you know, you don't have to pay for that seat. So then we take that into account. That's part of the cheshbon. Adar ba'a mishalim palga, that if the Dmei Shushvinus was 4 Zuzim, then you pay to the Baal HaSimcha half of the Shushvinus, which is 2 Zuzim, because a person who brings 4 Zuzim, the minig is that they would give him more food, not just 1 Zuz worth of food, they'd give him the higher end meal, and mikan ve'elach inish inish k'chashivusei. If you bring Shushvinus that's more than 4 Zuz, so then it depends on the chashivus of the person, that based on what they would feed him, you would deduct that that if he missed the wedding, you would deduct that from what he owes for the Shoshvinas. Tan Rabbanan, Asimo Bepumbi, if the first Baal Simcha had a very public wedding, Ubikesh Lasosimo Bitzina, and now he wants the Shoshvin to be Mesameach with him Bitzina. Yachalomerlo Bepumbi Asimach, Kedarach Shasimai, Imi, I'm willing to celebrate with you in a very public way, the way you are with me. But if you're not interested in doing a Simcha with such Pirsum, then I don't have to pay you Shoshvinas. Asimo Bivisula, Ubikesh Lasimo Balmana, meaning what we're going through now is a list of cases where it's not equal. Yes, I celebrated with you and I brought you Shoshvinus, but maybe you're not going to have to pay me back in kind because the simcha that we're celebrating for me is not the same simcha as what we're celebrating for you. So the first discrepancy is how public it was, how many people were there. The second discrepancy that we're dealing with is whether it was a basula or an almana, or a if it was a second wife and then he wants to pay back with the first wife, when you marry your second wife, then I'll be happy to participate. With one wife and he wants him to be mesameach with him for two wives, I'm only going to do it if everything lines up exactly. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue in the discussion of Shoshvinus with Tanur Rabbanan.
Thank you.